The reading this morning is taken from Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Well, do turn back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll pray again. Father, we want to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord in this church. And we want him to exercise his lordship through his word. So we pray now that you will enable all of us to submit to the word of Jesus Christ, to your word, Father, and to obey for Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen. Phil and Helen had been married for 3 years, but already the cracks were beginning to show. Truth to tell, they hadn't been that happy when they got married. They'd already been living together, and there were conflicts. Sometimes Helen asked herself, had she done the right thing? Phil also had his doubts about the marriage. Sometimes he thought about a previous girlfriend. Would he have been happier with her? The root of their conflict was the issue of control. Who was in charge? Who would get their own way? It wasn't just trivial matters like who would put the bins out. There were more profound conflicts about the use of time, use of money, about their goals and ambitions. Phil and Helen were at a crossroads. Could they resolve their conflicts, or should they cut their losses? We take Good Housekeeping magazine, and in the current edition, there's an interview with Amanda Holden about her former marriage to Les Dennis. In the article, Amanda Holden talks freely about her adultery. She is not unusual. A recent survey showed that 60% of men and 40% of women will commit adultery. The Bible has a very radical solution to this kind of conflict and infidelity, and it's in verse 21 of chapter 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Phil and Helen need to learn to submit to one another. You will remember the context of these verses. God has created a new society in the church. God has saved a people for himself, and he's broken down the old dividing wall of racial division. And then he calls the church to unity and to holiness. As Nick Klub reminded us last week, we must walk the walk and talk the talk. And now, Paul deals with an issue which every church struggles with, and every family struggles with, which every workplace struggles with. It's the battle for power. It's the battle to have our own way. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. To submit means to let the other person win. Let them have their own way. Well, four things to say. They're on the backs of your sheets. Firstly, submit out of reverence for Christ, verse 21. If I'm struggling to submit to Becca, if I'm struggling to give way to her, what I mustn't think is, this is not fair. She always gets her own way. She's always being in charge. Those things are not true. I must think, what a privilege to submit to Becca, because I'm really submitting to Christ. It is Christ I am obeying when I let my wife take precedence. It is Christ I'm obeying when I let a fellow church member have their own way. It is Christ I'm honoring when I choose not to insist on my own way in work. Now, I hear you say, surely there are some times when we must insist on our own way because there's a point of principle at stake. That is true. Sometimes we have to stand up to injustice or immorality or untruth. We have to stand up to those things on principle. At those moments, it wouldn't be right just to give in and back down. But those moments are few and far between. Most of the time, when we get irritated or angry, it's not righteous indignation. It's unrighteous. It's sinful. It's just us wanting our own way. And God says to us, submit to one another, whether it's at home, in the church, in society, submit to one another. Who do you need to submit to? Secondly, wives submit to husbands. We can't shy away from this teaching. It's certainly not politically correct, but the Bible does call wives to submit to their husbands. It needs to be pointed out that we husbands also submit to our wives. We do this all the time, I'm guessing. Actually, the New Testament is a very radical document. Jesus gave great status to women in a society which did not honor women. Women are given status in the church. Husbands are to give way to their wives. They're not to treat them as property, as was the case in Jewish society at the time. But there is a creation order in wives submitting to husbands. God calls husbands to servant leadership, in the home. We are not called to be dictatorial. We are called to be servants to our wives and children. But we are called to lead. Verse 23, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. In other words, it's an aspect of our Christian service that we submit to one another. So a wife needs to think, okay, I'll let him lead because in this I am submitting to Christ. It honors Christ when I let my husband lead. Obviously, if her husband asks her to do something wrong, the wife should not do it. Submission to her husband was no defense for Vicky Price, nor should it be. But in the normal course of life, the wife should encourage her husband to take the lead. Because, verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. So, a very simple analogy here. Christ is the head of the church. The church obeys Christ. And the husband is the head of the family. And ultimately, so long as he is not suggesting something wrong, the wife and children should obey the husband. Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. There's no way I can make that fit with modern liberal thinking. Husbands and fathers are given a huge responsibility. They are to lead. God will hold us accountable for exercising headship in the home. It's the father's ultimate responsibility to see that his family is godly. It's also the wife's responsibility, but God has particularly called the men to do this. But thirdly, husbands, love your wives sacrificially. Verses 25 to 29. Why should a wife allow her husband to lead? Answer: because he loves her enough to die for her. And he loves her so much, he only wants her good. So he only asks her to do things which will lead to her ultimate flourishing. We've already seen that the church is Christ's body. We are the hands and feet of Jesus on earth. We are intimately linked to Christ. He is our Savior. And he is a model for husbands. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What did Jesus do for his bride? That's the church. That's us. He died to save his people. He couldn't have loved us anymore. And that, brothers, is how we are to love our wives. Now, at this point, I feel the greatest hypocrite. Because Becca could tell you that I do not love her as Christ loves her. That makes me a failure. But there's always grace with God when we fail. And this is the basis upon which God calls our wives to submit to us. He calls us to lay down our lives for our wives. Now, if I love my wife like that, I'm only going to ask Becca to do good things. I'm going to take off her the bad things, if I possibly can. So can you see how there's a mutual submitting and giving in marriage? This is very far from the picture of the tyrant treating his wife as if she were his slave. Christian men should be the best husbands on the planet. And when a woman is loved like this, she will gladly submit. Look at how Christ loves his bride, the church. He is our husband. We are his bride. He dies for us, 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Jesus wants the best for us, his bride. He wants to make us holy. Holy doesn't mean miserable. I'm reading a book at the moment by Bruce Marciano, who played Jesus in the film version of Matthew's Gospel. It's a very interesting book, as Marciano goes through the process of thinking himself into the persona of Jesus. One of the things which comes out of the book very strongly is that Jesus was a man of joy. Holiness and happiness go together. Holiness and joy go together. People sometimes say to me, I would prefer to go to hell because all my friends will be there. The thinking behind that is that sin is pleasure. Sin makes you happy. There is sinful pleasure, but it is short term. And it doesn't make you happy. Many people tell me how miserable guilt makes them feel. I know that from my own life. It's a great thing to be made holy by Jesus. It means we are right with God. God is holy. He will only welcome the holy. To be holy means we're going to heaven. And to be holy means to be happy. We sing, don't we? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Jesus has cleansed us through the water of baptism, through the word, through our putting our trust in the word of the gospel. Baptism symbolizes what happens to us when we put our faith in Jesus. Verse 27, to present her, the church, to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. One of the great moments of my wedding day was when I first saw Becca. We were married in Harrow School Chapel. It's all very splendid. The Gloria from the Bach Mass in B minor was thundering on the organ. And then Becca appeared at the top of the aisle. And she looked stunning. And she bowled me over. And I've seen that effect on grooms many times since when I take weddings. It's a fantastic moment when the bride appears and the bridegroom staggers. That's how it's going to be when we stand before Christ, our husband. I wonder how you feel about the day of judgment. I tend to feel rather nervous. What will we say? What will we do with ourselves? I tend to think I will fall on my face in the dust. But actually, that's not how it's going to be. Christ will present us to himself, radiant, perfect, like the stunning bride that he has made us. There'll be no fear, no shame. We will be holy and blameless. Love will have won. Christ will have loved us into shape. Not beaten us into shape. Loved us into shape. And that's how it's meant to be in our marriages. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands, we ought to love our wives as our own bodies. She is your own body. That's why sex outside of marriage is wrong. In sex, we become one flesh with our partner, one body. This makes a one-night stand abhorrent. And anything less than the full commitment of marriage is a sinful imitation of the real thing. We become one flesh with our wives. So I must care for my wife because she is a part of me. Verse 29. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does his church. Brothers, do we love our wives as our own body? Because fourthly, marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. Christ cares for the church as his own body. Verse 30, we are members of his body. Verse 31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a quote from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. This is the quotation which Jesus cites in his own teaching. It is, in passing, clear biblical evidence that marriage is between a man and a woman. This is a creation principle. It's how God has made the world. A man and a woman shall be united as one flesh. There's no such thing as a same-sex marriage. And this is a picture of the relationship Christ has with his church. Do you see? God likes sex. God invented sex. The intimacy of sex within marriage is a picture of the intimacy Christ enjoys with his church. Look at verse 32. This is a profound mystery, sex within marriage. But I am talking about Christ and the church. Now, doesn't this make prayer special? When we pray, we are enjoying the intimacy that Christ desires with his bride, the church. Same with Bible reading. Christ wants to speak to you. He wants to commune with you. It'd be a pretty lousy marriage where there was no communication. We are called to intimacy with Christ. And therefore, let's pray. Let's read our Bibles. Let's enjoy fellowship with God's people. Let's come to church. Don't forget, this intimacy which Christ enjoys with the church is corporate. Together, worship is meant to be a time of intimacy, a time of communion together with our husband. That's what's going on right now. So sad that people only feel they want to come to church once a fortnight, once every 3 weeks. You're missing out on the intimacy, on the communion. You're failing to play your part. You are part of the bride, part of the church. We can't fully function without you. Come to church regularly. Look out for your friends. Encourage them to come to church regularly. And so, here's the summary sentence, verse 33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. What a challenge. Love our wives as we love ourselves. I'm a failure. Pray for me, and I will pray for you. And the wife must respect her husband. Do you enjoy Last of the Summer Wine? It's very funny, and I know it's only a joke, but have you noticed that all the men are idiots in the story? And their wives have no respect for them. And have you noticed how often in contemporary drama and comedy, the men are idiots and the wives have no respect for them? Now, some men are idiots and they are worthy of no respect. But most of us are half idiots and half good blokes. We certainly do things which are not worthy of respect. But in marriage, we have to show each other grace. We have to forgive each other. We men have got to keep on loving our wives, no matter what they say, what they do, or fail to do. And you, ladies, have got to respect your husbands, despite our failures. If love and respect break down, that is the end of the marriage. So, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to husbands. Husbands, love your wives sacrificially, because marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. And so one final question. Do you know Christ? Are you one of his church? Are you part of his bride? You can be today. All you have to do is say yes to his proposal. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to say yes to your proposal. We want to be part of your bride. We want to live as your bride. And we thank you that on the day of judgment, you will present us to yourself, holy, perfect, radiant, stunning. So, Lord, please help us now to live in a way which pleases you. Help us to submit to one another. Help each wife to submit to her husband. Help us husbands to love our wives as Christ loves the church, so that we may model to the world Christ's relationship to his church. And we pray this for his honor and glory. Amen.